he lived in Africa. He heard these exciting stories of how, you know, people discovered diamond mines. So he had a farm. He told his family, I'm going to sell this farm. We're going to find diamonds and we're going to be rich. And they set off in their quest for diamonds. They went country after country looking for diamonds. And it is said that he just couldn't find any diamonds. In the end, the man got so upset and depressed. Stories have it that he just threw himself into the sea in Barcelona and he drowned to death. He apologized to his family to say, I'm really sorry I've let you down. Except he sold his farm to this man who had a camel. And he started rearing his farm. And right by the brook, he found a shabby-looking stone which he put by his fireplace. And the vicar comes around, and who used to be some kind of goldsmith or whatever you call him. He said, "What? Where do you get that stone?" He said, "Oh, I've got plenty of them in my backyard. My backyard's full of them." And he said, "That's one of the rarest diamonds you can find." This man was sitting in a field full of diamonds, and he went looking for diamonds. So often, right inside us is the greatest diamond, the most precious thing one could ever have in the Holy Spirit, the forgotten God sometimes, the neglected person in Trinity. And we go looking, don't we? With the hope of finding something somewhere. Who is this Holy Spirit? I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I was preaching at a Pentecostal conference a couple of weeks ago, and I said Pentecostal. It didn't go down well. Nobody laughed. I grew up in a Pentecostal church where we focused on the power of the Holy Ghost. Power, 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 power. That's all we always talked about, the power of the Holy Ghost. But we somehow miss the person of the Holy Ghost. We often talk about the love of the Father and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is great. But the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we've no clue what that is. We miss that out, don't we? Who is the Holy Spirit? How am I meant to engage with the Holy Spirit? It's almost like the Father gets the gold medal, Jesus gets the silver medal, and the Holy Spirit is the bronze medalist, so we don't bother with him. How do I engage with the Holy Spirit? Next slide, please. Now, if you flip through, I've missed a slide somewhere. If you go down, I'm going to show you a lot of slides. Go back up. I've missed a slide. There was one slide where I lived with, go all the way back up, please, to Bev. I lived with this guy called Jatin. He won't mind me saying this. This is in 2006. We were housemates. How many of you have shared a house with someone else? Was it a good experience? How many of you found it a good experience? Now, this guy, he was my mate from India. So we used to live together. The only difficulty I had was we both had different definitions of the word clean and tidy. I used to get into a tiff with him all the time. And then one day, this is how we settled it. He told me, Sam, in my mind, this is how tidy looks like, and this is how I like to, you know, my house to look, which means a tip. If you want it any different, you've got to figure it out. And I kind of thought, yeah, if that settles it for me. So I figured the house cleaning chores were mine, toilet cleaning was mine. As long as he kept his room a tip, I didn't mind. Now, in 2005, I also met Bev, and I fancied her. But I never had the courage to ask her out. So in 2009, on a very snowy, maybe Feb or Jan, I don't remember when it was, London tipped with snow. Nobody could go anywhere, and somehow it struck me that, oh, I just fancied this girl for about 4 years now, and I asked her out on this snowy day. Next slide, please. We spent a morning making an igloo. Do you remember this day in 2009, a snowy day? And that's what we did. She looks beautiful, doesn't she? Next slide, please. And there we are, with a mole in the middle. His name's David. First day I'd asked him out and he got in between. Now, ever since I met Bev, and then we got married, and for the first time, Tom and Phoebe, you'll relate to this, I started living with someone and sharing my room with someone and sharing my bed with someone. It was a different league. It was a different dimension of living with someone. Now, the first few months was a bit tricky because Bev didn't like my definition of tidy. I kind of thought socks lying around was all right. And, you know, clothes by the wash basket is good enough. It doesn't really need to go in. She didn't agree. So the first few months were tough. But then I realized that this wonderful, amazing woman started having an impact on my life. I started getting more organized. I started planning events. I'm still not very good at this. Mark will know this, and Lucy, you'll know this. Maintaining a calendar. So now I tell people, you just tell Bev straight away if you want me to do something, because I'm still not very good at it. So she started changing the way I started behaving. She started having an influence on me, and I started having an influence on her. Can you remember the time if you are married or you had a housemate where influence of somebody living with you was profound and big? Now, next slide, please. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is a person who lives in me. Can you believe it? I've been a Christian for many, many years. I even went to Bible school. But somehow I never clocked that 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? I always somehow in my mind thought temple of God. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Bible goes on to tell us that at the point of salvation, that is when the Holy Spirit came into you and into me. It is the Holy Spirit who enabled you to get baptized in water. Tony, it was the Holy Spirit who came inside you at salvation and then helped you to get baptized. And Romans 8 and 9 says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. It's the same word, ruah. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. So if anyone comes to you and say, have you received the Holy Spirit? Yes, I did, at the point of salvation. Next slide, please. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit is God. Genesis 1 and 1, those of you who are like to meditate on the scripture, go and meditate on the word God in Genesis 1 and 1. The word used there is Elohim. Elohim is a plural word, which signifies the plurality of the triune God. It was the Holy Spirit who was involved in creation. The Holy Spirit is involved all through Genesis. And then you come into the New Testament, the triune God. Jesus commands us to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The benediction, now may the love of the Father, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. And then this is what blows my mind. I need you to get this. Jesus teaches us. In John 14 and 16, he's telling the disciples, I'm going. What is he saying? I'm going. Those of you who have been children ever or have children, think of the time when mummy said, I'm going somewhere. This happens in my house all the time where I'm led to feel somehow lesser than mummy. If mummy is going somewhere, there's a lot of tears in the house. Daddy is going, it's often bye-bye. Unless daddy's going to do something cool or something. Anyway, when Jesus tells his disciples, I am going, he says to comfort them, I am going to send you another counselor. another comforter. And he doesn't stop there. He says, Femi, he says, it is to your advantage that I go. There is someone coming. It is to your advantage that I go, says Jesus. Can you believe that? Who could be cooler than Jesus? Jesus said that. He then says, when this Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things and remind you of what I have said. Listen to this. How do I know what Jesus said? The Holy Spirit inside me will teach me and he will remind me. How many of you have memory problems? Me too. Mark, for you it's old age, not for me. He's a year older than me. Now listen to this. It's not about memorizing scripture. It is about the Holy Spirit reminding me of the teachings of Jesus when I need it. When I'm going through a situation, when I'm facing a temptation, when I'm faced with an adversity, something pops up inside me. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches me all things. And then, oh, he says, he will guide me into, not truth, into all truth. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit will guide me into the entirety of truth. How mind-blowing is that? And then in Acts 1 and 8, Jesus says, wait until you receive power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 says, if you live by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of your flesh. How many of you struggle with temptation? Some of you. Praise the Lord for the rest of you. I struggle with it all the time. But you know, how can I overcome temptation? If I live by the Spirit. Now, those are foundations I just needed you to get. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He is God. He counsels me. He comforts me. He helps me. He teaches me. He guides me. He gives me power and the ability to overcome sin. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Do you want to give the Lord a round of applause? It is to your advantage that I'm going, Jesus said. And now, if you have all this living inside you, that should be pretty amazing, shouldn't it? What do you say? If you have all that living inside you, it should be pretty incredible and mind-blowing. Francis Chan, in his book, The Forgotten God, he gave a silly example. I'll twist it around. He said, if God gave you a supernatural ability to play football or cricket, what do you think? If God gave you a super, ladies, if you're not into football or cricket, whatever, you're into cooking or you know, that's Bob. Run. Ladies, if you're into, what can I, help me, men, help me here. Football, cricket, rugby. Yes, where's Anna? Rugby, Anna, I said it. Hannah plays rugby, and she's sitting right there where she can chuck something at me. Now, if you have the supernatural ability to play cricket, where every ball goes for a six, nobody can get you out, isn't it? If you have that ability, that's what you should do. You should be able to score from any point in the field like a Chelsea player. Now, if you claim you have that supernatural gift and you can't do it, then there's something wrong, isn't there? If you say that the Holy Spirit is living inside you and in me, and we can't live evidencing that, there's a problem, isn't there? People would challenge the validity of your claim and my claim. How can you say you have the Holy Spirit in you? But now, the Bible teaches us that you can have the Holy Spirit in you, but you can choose not to live by the Spirit. Are you listening to me? Which is why the repeated admonishment is to live by the Spirit. It is not automatic that once the Holy Spirit comes into me, he takes over a steering wheel like the Tesla car. You have to choose to live by the... How many of you have got those fancy cars which can park itself? Nobody. If you have the Holy Spirit, it's not an automatic person who takes over control. You have to choose to live by the Spirit. Do you remember the man in Acts chapter 3, it is, who was sitting by the temple? Do you remember? James and John go to him. The Bible says he was lame. It doesn't say he did not have legs. It says he had legs, but he couldn't walk. How many of you remember when if you are fortunate enough to have both your limbs, how many of you remember the time you came out of your mother's womb and checked out your legs? Anyone? No. Could you walk when you came out of your mother's womb? No. You had the limbs, but you had to learn to use your limbs. Do you remember the time your children learned to walk and they stumbled? You have to figure out my relationship with the limbs on a daily basis. And if you want to be a footballer, then you have to practice rigorously to figure out even deeper, how do I use these limbs to live it well? Are you listening to me? Now, exactly the same is the Holy Spirit indwelling in me. I need to learn how to live by the Spirit. Is that okay? Have you got that bit? Good. For this man by the temple, he had his limbs, but he was lame. But once God healed him, what did he do? He went, ran into the temple, and he praised God. The minute you understand the relationship with God, what God has already given you, and start living by it, your life dramatically and drastically changes. So three things I need you to take home with you today. Number one, next slide, please. The Holy Spirit is a person. Start relating to him. Could you turn to your neighbor and say, relate with him? Turn to your neighbor you like and say, relate with him. Next slide, please. Now, this is the day I got engaged with Bev. I had hair. Next slide, please. And then we got married, and I took Bev to God's own country. It's called Kerala in India. Amazing, amazing trip. And then from there, we went to, next slide, please. We went to Maldives, where Bev didn't know none of this. It was a surprise on a seaplane. We went off to a small little island and spent 10 days there. It's beautiful. And then we came home after the honeymoon. And then she started telling me off. Now, Bev, you can be legally married to someone. Listen to me. You can be legally married to someone but have no relationship with them, couldn't you? You could live in different homes. But on paper, you are married. Legally, at the point of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you, but you could live an entire lifetime without fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Couldn't you? I've been guilty of this. Oh, she's here. Sometimes when life gets busy, I could think of family life as a vending machine where I come, eat, go to bed, and go to work again in the morning and expect my clothes to be in my wardrobe and everything I need around, couldn't I? How many of us have lived like that? I am living in a transactional relationship where I want the power and I want all the gifts Bev gives me, but I don't want to live in the intimacy and the relationship Bev offers me. The Holy Spirit is a person. Unless you and I learn to relate and fellowship and engage with the Holy Spirit, unless I give Bev my attention and my affection, she's never wanting to, she'll not want to relate with me, would she? If I go to her only for the things she can offer me, it would make her feel absolutely horrible, wouldn't it? The Holy Spirit is a person. Unless you and I make a conscious choice and effort to engage with the Holy Spirit, we're never going to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now think of this. Jesus in John chapter 14 uses the word parakletos, which is the word companion, which is the word counselor. Could you go to the previous slide, please? Now, Jesus uses the word, the same word, similar word used in Genesis when God created Eve as a helper, as a companion for Adam. Do you get me? The relationship between me and the Holy Spirit is one of intimacy. It's one of friendship. It is one of pleasure. It is one of joy. Now, if the Holy Spirit is my comforter, listen to me. If the Holy Spirit is my counselor, what must I do when I have anxious moments? Can you think of the last anxious moment you had and think of what you did? Imagine me and Bev, sorry, I'm bringing it all down to a marital relationship, just an example. Think of it a friendship. Imagine you are living with someone with whom you don't talk or engage. And the name of this person is comforter. The name of this person is counselor. It's almost like you're living with a doctor, but you've got an ailment, but you won't talk to the doctor. Do you get me? The comforter, the companion, the counselor living in me. Jesus said, he is my teacher who teaches me all things. When is it the last time you somehow said, Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me how to do this thing? Have you done that? There are times I do it, but I don't do it consistently. I write a lot of reports. I need to do different things in the office. A lot of times I've never done this before. But I've gone to the Holy Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to do this. Have you done that? I don't know how to write this report. I don't know how to restructure this service. I don't know how to create this service. Can you help me? You know why? Because he is my teacher. If I have an exam to write, if I have an essay to give, if I have a situation where I need wisdom, the Holy Spirit is my teacher. We are so used to talking about the power of the Holy Spirit that we as a community of believers never talk about the person and the companionship of the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. We are obsessed with somehow experiencing emotions, but we forget that he is a person resident inside me. He's my guide. He's the one who shows me what to do. Simple application. For those of you who are my friends, you know, the last couple of weeks I've grappled with this. And I've said to the Holy Spirit, I'm really sorry. I don't even know how to start talking to you because I've spent so long running, where I haven't consistently paused to talk to you. Can you think of that? The challenge is to afford your affection and your attention. To acknowledge that you have a housemate living with you. Do you know that? I used to live with a friend, and And I was in love with Bev. And I used to live in their house. And one day, the lady's name was Barbara. She said, Sam, you live here, but we never even get to say hello to you. Do you get me? And I kind of realized, this is no good, is it? I'm going to make a conscious effort to stop and say hello to you. At least a couple evenings in the week, I'm going to make sure that I spend and have dinner with you. Do you get me? How do you consciously engage with the person of the Holy Spirit without affording time, without affording conversations, and without affording a relationship? The Bible says you and I are the temple of the... Now, can you answer a question for me? Jesus took on... What did Jesus take on when he was on earth? Flesh. Didn't he? What does the Holy Spirit take on? He takes on my body and your body. Is that okay? That's what the Bible teaches us. So the simple truth I want us to go home with is that the Holy Spirit is a person, and I need to learn to relate to him. I have spent the last few weeks just saying, Holy Spirit, I don't really know. And somehow it blows my mind to think, how does the Trinity work? How does all this thing work? I don't understand it. But the thing you told me is it is good that Jesus, you are going. You said the Holy Spirit is here living inside me. You said to me that the Holy Spirit is my comforter. He's my guide. He's the one who teaches me all things. And I want to say hello to you. I want to relate to you. Teach me. Help me. Could you make that prayer this week? Could you make that a daily prayer? If somebody is living in your house, could you say good morning? Could you say hello? Would you invite the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I want to give you my attention, my affection. I want to say hello. I want to be conscious of you. Next slide. See, it is my obedience to the Holy Spirit that determines how deep my relationship is. The Holy Spirit is God, so obey him. When Jesus went to Jordan to get baptized, do you remember what happened after he was baptized? The Holy Spirit came upon him, and what did the Holy Spirit do after that? Led him to the wilderness. The Holy Spirit came in response to Jesus' obedience to the Father. The Holy Spirit, your intimacy and my relationship with the Holy Spirit deepens when I obey him, when I engage with him, when I respond to him. In the Bible, when Saul offers sacrifice, God turns around to Saul and says, I prefer obedience to sacrifice. You and I might say, oh, I did this. I gave so much money. I give up my time. I come to church on a Sunday. But God says, are you living in obedience of the Holy Spirit? Now listen to this. I never understood this until recently. When Jesus went to the wilderness, who sent him there? The Holy Spirit did. Now in those 40 days, when Satan was tempting him, did the Holy Spirit show up? There is no mention of the Holy Spirit, is there? No. No. What does Jesus do when Satan tempts him in the wilderness? He resists, and what does he rely on? The Word of God. Who wrote the Word of God? The Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? This was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible you and I hold in our hands. And Jesus relied entirely on the Word of God when the enemy came hunting. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is not an emotion. The Holy Spirit is the Word of God that you and I hold. Hallelujah. When you go through tough times, when you don't feel like it, when you don't experience a tingly feeling, you know you need none of that. The Holy Spirit is hidden in the Word of God. If you and I seek the Word of God, we shall find and experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hides in the Word of God in my time of trial. Ephesians 6 says, take up the sword of the Spirit when times are evil. Ladies and gentlemen, the simple thing we do when times are tough and you sit down to pray in the morning is to skip the Word of God, isn't it? Yeah? There are times I try to read it and I kind of think, you know, I don't feel nothing. I just read it. I don't feel anything. Can you remember what you had for dinner 4 months ago? Can you remember it? But it did you good, didn't it? It kept you going, didn't it? There are times when times are tough, I need to understand that the Word of God does me good. Whether I feel it, I feel a tingling or not, it is good for me. So I'm going to spend time meditating and reading the Word of God. There are times where I only read one verse and I read it over and over and over again. When I'm driving my car, that is the only verse I can count, and I just say it and I say it and I say it. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is hidden in the Word of God. And I'm willing to obey Him. I'm willing to respond to Him. And when I do that, His intimacy with me deepens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are different times. There are different times you can think of people you dearly love, couldn't you? Who do you love dearly? It could be your mom, it could be your dad, it could be your spouse. And sometimes your brain will tell you what exactly your dad would have said at that time. My dad has this favorite saying, drop by drop makes an ocean. He says it in Gujarati. And you know what he says it about? He's a big saver. And if I splash money on something, I can hear him at the back of my mind saying, drop by drop makes an ocean. Have you had that? Or sometimes I can hear Beverly's voice in my head. This is exactly what Beverly would say. And worse is that sometimes when Alicia and Malachi say things we say, and when I tell them not to say, they say, Daddy, that's what you say. I have learned now to reject some of the voices of my dad. Do you get me? The negative ones I reject, the positive ones I hold on to. The Holy Spirit is a person who speaks to you in your mind and in your heart. And your ability to respond to that voice is what makes that voice grow louder or fainter. Are you listening to me? If I refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit when He's talking to me, in some of the failures of my life, I can distinctly remember I was in a city called Bangalore. And I was a very young man in university. I was going out with a Hindu girl. And I knew everything inside me kept beeping, no, 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 don't do it, don't do it. I can remember every journey I'm making, and I can hear alarms going everywhere inside my brain. And guess what I said? It's okay, it's okay. I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. The more I said that, the voices grew fainter and fainter and fainter, and I went deeper and deeper into sin. And then I look back and say, why on earth did I not listen to the Holy Spirit? Unless you and I cultivate the habit of listening to the Word of God, listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling you inside you, the voice will go fainter and fainter inside you and me. Sometimes it can be a simple aspect of saying, go up and say sorry. Have you had that before? Fix that relationship. It needs fixing. Don't allow a bitter root in your heart. Yesterday was my daughter's birthday. She turned 4, as she would proudly tell you. We've had a busy week. Yesterday, Bev and I had Alicia's party. Then Bev had another birthday party, and I had another party at my neighbor's. The previous day was crazy. So in the morning when Bev and I woke up, we're tired. And we held hands in bed, and we said, let's pray. And as we started praying, I sensed a voice, just a thought out of nowhere, which said, slow things down. Enjoy the day. Are you listening to me? That's all it said. It doesn't matter if the cake doesn't turn out right. It doesn't matter if your biryani doesn't come out right. You're running around making sandwiches Jesus did not order. Do you get me? So I clung on to that word the entire day. It doesn't matter. Do you get me? That is how you cultivate the voice of God and you obey. There are times when we've felt the Lord tell us things that we never wanted to do. Sometimes it's giving away sums of money. Sometimes it's going places. It's sometimes talking to people we don't want to talk. But the challenge, ladies and gentlemen, is will you obey the Holy Spirit no matter what he tells you? And once you start doing that, that's when you live by the Spirit and you don't gratify the desires of your flesh. Does that make sense? Then you start seeing the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which Mark will come later in a month to preach about. Where what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's character transformation. Are you listening to me? And after that, you start seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is the ability to serve. And then you start seeing the power of the Spirit where you can accomplish things that naturally you couldn't do. Do you get me? The order is wrong sometimes in our brains. We want the power first and we want the person last. You start with the person of the Holy Spirit. You allow the Holy Spirit to change your character and my character with the gifts, with the fruits of the Spirit. Then you ask for the gifts of the Spirit to serve. Then you come and ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he has called you and me to accomplish. Will you give him a round of applause? Finally. So what was the first point? The Holy Spirit is a person. Relate to him. Second, Holy Spirit is God. Obey him. Now, you could say, give him your life or be filled with the Spirit. No matter which one you like, you take that one. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18 and 18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a very strange thing to say, isn't it? It's almost like saying, do not get high on weed, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wine was the weed in those days. Yeah? If the Bible was written today, it would be said, do not get high on weed, but be filled. What a comparison. Why would you compare the Holy Spirit with wine or weed, if I may say so? That's bizarre, isn't it? How do you get drunk on wine? Drink a lot. But even before that, if you're sitting at home and you're not a wine drinker, what is the first thing? The wine doesn't come knocking on your door, does it? Knock, knock. Joshua, are you in there? It's me, wine. Just come to give you a sip. No. You've got to go out looking for wine. You've got to go out. Oh boy, today's Sunday, 4 o'clock, everything is closed. What news agent will have it? Hello, mate, do you have wine? I have to go looking for it. Then I've got to go and get a bottle. I don't know if you'll pour it out into a glass or just glug it. I don't know which one you are. Let me say you pour it in a glass. And you drink a sip. Don't you? Does that get you drunk? You have to drink. And you have to drink. Mindy for Mindy, yes. But you have to drink. And you have to drink. And you have to drink until you start feeling something, don't you? And they say, then you suddenly start talking. I was, where was I? Oh, I was at this Punjabi party I was telling Mark about. I believe someday they'll come to church, but I hope they won't listen to this preach. But if you ever go to my Punjabi neighbor's house, they use pint glasses to serve whiskey. They drink. They drink until the bottle is finished. So I've learned this trick. Don't drink at all until you finish your evening with them. Anytime they offer, no, mine's full. Some of you might say, oh, Sam, I'd better go there instead of you. But listen to this. They had a party yesterday, and he said, we had all the old aunties. In India, you call everyone an auntie and an uncle. We had all the aunties come to the wedding, and we had to the birth, 1 year child's birthday party. We had a couple boxes, bottles of brandy just to get the aunties moving a bit. That's what he said. A couple shots of brandy will get the aunties moving a bit. When you drink, it changes your behavior, doesn't it? It changes how you speak. It influences how you think. The Bible says, do not get drunk on wine, but be instead filled with the Holy Spirit. What it means is that the Holy Spirit, Joshua, is never going to come knocking on your door for you to be completely filled with him. You've got to actively seek the Holy Spirit. Are you getting me? The Holy Spirit came into you at the point of salvation. And if you and I sit on our backsides and say, as my father would say, there was this guy in a church who said, it's in Malayalam. If you don't know Malayalam, I'm sorry. But he says, this is how he says, Mata nidam malakunnu. Matthew is going to sleep now. Holy Spirit, you can come or go. You can do whatever you like. I'm going to have a sleep in church. You could say that. You've got to act. Actively engage with the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the church is like a bar. Are you listening to me? Church is like a bar. If you had a dry week, you need to come in and say, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Whether I like the song or not, I need the Holy Spirit. Whether I like the music or not, I need the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to wait for my song to come to shout to the Lord. I am so desperate. You can croak there. You, for all I care, I need the Holy Spirit. I'm going to engage with God today. Ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to come to the house of God with a passion and a hunger that is not reliant on the music sheet. That is not reliant on the singer there. That is not reliant on the preacher here. You are desperate for the Holy Spirit. I want you, Holy Spirit. I want you to take control of my life. I want you to take charge of my being. I want you to take charge of my brain. I want your character in me. I want your gifts in me. I want your power inside of me. Band, would you come forward? I just know the